KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego County Toyota Dealers, offering a new 2025 lineup of vehicles at your local Toyota dealer, including a new Tacoma with turbocharged four-cylinder engines and a hybrid powertrain option. The San Diego County Toyota Dealers. We make it easy.
Welcome in, San Diego. It's Jade Hindman. On today's show, a year can be remembered in many different ways. Words are one of them. We'll explore the ones that captured 2025. This is KPBS Midday Edition, connecting our communities through conversation. It's almost the end of 2025, which means it is a great time to reflect back on the year behind us. One way to do that is through the biggest words of 2025. Every December, dictionaries like Merriam-Webster and Oxford publish lists of words that and expressions reflecting the year. And we have plenty to talk about this year, from slop to rage bait, gerrymander, and even 6-7. I'm joined by someone who knows a thing or two about words, Martha Barnett. She's co-host of the call-in radio show Away with Words and author of Friends with Words, Adventures in Language Land. Martha, welcome back to Midday Edition.
Hey, Jade. It's great to be with you again.
Always great to talk to you. So, you know, you are the expert here. In your view, what makes a word or expression a good candidate for defining a year?
Well, if you want a word like that, you want a word that really captures the zeitgeist. You know, what's everybody talking about? What's everybody thinking about? And what really sums up the year that we've just about completed? And it doesn't necessarily have to be a single word. It can be a unit of meaning. And the big one this year is the first one you mentioned, slop.
Well, tell me about that, you know, because that is the top word commonly referred to as AI slop. I mean, what is that? And what do you think about that being a word there?
Well, what's really interesting about the term slop is that so many different dictionaries and organizations, groups of people who watch words all year long, so many of them have chosen slop. At least five of them have said the word of the year is slop because there is so much low quality content flooding our feeds. And as you said, it has to do with AI and just this digital clutter, this unwanted, shoddy AI content that you just can't escape when you fire up your phone or fire up your computer, whether you're doing a search online and maybe it gives you a wrong information or images coming at you. And the word slop itself, I think, is pretty fantastic because it's got this great history of going back to the 15th century when slop meant a mud hole or a puddle, and then later on it became applied to semi-liquid food or something that you might feed to somebody who's convalescing, or you might go out and slop the hogs. And then in the 19th century, slop also applied to sentimental writing, and it was just 3 years ago in online tech circles that people started applying it to this kind of low quality but high quantity garbage, a lot of which is produced with artificial intelligence. And so that was just 3 years ago that, you know, tech insiders were using that word. And then it sort of jumped into the mainstream, particularly last year. And with good reason, because Jade, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, these creepy, surreal images or maybe a video of a deceased celebrity and you click on it because you're confused you know, the Pope dressed in a big white puffer jacket.
Right.
He didn't wear that. Do you? Or those little baby peacocks that look so cute and they're in somebody's hand, but it's not real. It's surreal. And then words too. You know, these long posts on Facebook that just seem to come out of nowhere. Or, you know, as an author, I'm noticing that a lot of people are going online and making knockoffs of real books. You know, they just use AI. And so, I mean, if I sound like I'm complaining about slop, I guess I am.
It's out there.
It's out there and it's in our faces all the time. But as a word, it's actually pretty great because it lends itself to a lot of adaptation, which is something that that will make a word stick around and just not be sort of a flash in the pan kind of slang, because I've seen people talking about hiring slop. Mm-hmm. Which is, that's not when you hire somebody who's slop, but it's when, you know, somebody's going through resumes and they can tell that all these resumes are AI generated. You know, people are trying to stand out, but they're actually just looking like it was generated by AI. Or people have talked about work slop is another variation on the term. That's, you know, work that's produced to make your boss look like you're working, or make produced to satisfy process or appearances rather than to create real value. And then I'll just give you a couple more examples. Slopaganda is a term that's floating around now. You know, propaganda that's produced by slop, slopperations, slopographers, and sloptimists are apparently people who are actually optimistic about all this stuff that most of us find. Well, the CEO of Merriam-Webster, actually, when they named slop their word of the year, he said that slop is something that people have found fascinating, annoying, and a little bit ridiculous. And I think that really sums it up.
That does. And I'll be honest, I'll tell you, I hadn't heard of AI slop, but the way you just broke it down, that does really capture a lot of what we see online here and beyond.
Yeah.
But also online leads us to the next word, which is rage bait. What might we not know about that name, and what does it mean?
Well, rage bait is a term that was chosen by the Oxford University Press, the people who produce the Oxford English Dictionary. And rage bait is content that's specifically designed to provoke anger for the sake of engagement, for the sake of traffic. You know, you go online and, you know, trolls will do this in social media. They'll go and produce rage bait so that people get angry about what the person has posted, and it increases their reactions online, and that games the algorithm so they get more distribution, and it's just a really annoying other thing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, okay, so another word I want to talk about that made Merriam-Webster's list is gerrymander. Been in the dictionary a long time. This was, though, a highly searched term throughout 2025, especially around the Prop 50 effort here in California. But I'm wondering if you can tell us the origin story of that word, gerrymander.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked about that one, because it's one of those word origins that's actually very clear. It's easy to research. And yeah, gerrymander is a term that we've heard a bunch lately when people are talking about redistricting and drawing the lines of electoral districts differently to advantage one party or the other. And gerrymander actually goes back to the early 1800s, 1812. Actually, because the governor of Massachusetts then was a guy named Elbridge Gerry, G-E-R-R-Y, Elbridge Gerry. Mm. And he was one of the original signers of the Declaration of Independence, and later he went on to be James Madison's vice president. But while he was governor of Massachusetts in 1812, his party redrew a state Senate district into a shape that was just so outrageous. You know, they were trying to get all the votes they could. And so this shape of this district was so ridiculous that somebody compared it to the shape of a salamander, you know, which is not a very orderly looking district, but somebody compared it to the shape of a salamander. And then a political cartoonist decided that actually that was a gerrymander. He called it a gerrymander. People were first originally calling it a gerrymander, but, you know, people saw that word in print and like geranium and geometry and geography, people just figured that it started with a J sound instead. So it actually goes back to the name of a Massachusetts governor whose party redrew a district into a really ridiculous shape.
Interesting. Well, another phrase is touch grass. That one made the list. What does that mean for those who don't know?
Yeah, touch grass is an expression that I really appreciate because I need to train myself to push away from the computer and go outside and touch grass. I mean, it's in its most literal sense, it means get outside, you know, close your computer, shut your phone off, go outside and touch grass. And this arose in the gaming community when people were kind of teasing each other about that. And touch grass for a while could mean, you know, get real. And it was a little bit derogatory. Hey, touch grass, you know, get real. But it's since acquired this sense of, you know, shutting down, going out in nature. It kind of reminds me of the Japanese term Shinrin Yoku, which literally means forest bath. And so when I'm trying to remind myself to go out and touch grass, I tell myself, you know, I need to go out and take a forest bath. It's good for you, especially in the face of so much slop.
Exactly. I was going to say, this is what will keep you away from slop and rage bait. So touch some grass.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay, it's time to embarrass the kids a little. So we have to talk about 6-7, the big Gen Alpha term of 2025. Dictionary.com actually crowned it their top word of this year. And it seems that nobody quite knows what 6-7 means. And yet we're hearing it and seeing it everywhere. My five-year-old came home saying it. So what's your take on all of this 6-7 business, Martha?
Okay, so you're speaking from personal experience then, Jade. You've heard 6-7. And did your kid make any hand motions?
She did. She did the hand up, one hand down thing and then chuckled and walked away when I asked her what it meant. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the whole idea, right? To outsmart the adults. But yeah, 6-7 really, really took off among kids. And some people thought it was a little bit weird that dictionary.com would name it the word of the year because it just, you know, just popped up so quickly. And it's awfully silly. And we're not totally sure of the of exactly how it managed to take off. But it apparently goes back to a song called Doot Doot 6-7, which is by a musical artist named Skrilla. And then it was reinforced by these viral TikToks featuring basketball players, and something or other involving the basketball players had to do with 6-7. And then I don't know if you've seen this video online, but there's a video that you can find that's just a few seconds of a young boy who will forever be known as the 6-7 kid because he's at a basketball game and he gets really excited and he says 6-7 and he looks kind of silly and he's making these weird hand motions. And what happened was that somehow this took off among kids, and pretty soon teachers, you know, their classrooms were utterly disrupted if the number 6-7 came up, and some teachers were trading tips online about how to get their students to stop saying 6-7, or maybe for a treat they would give a math test where all the answers were 67. And you know, when that happens, when teachers and you know, adults start to pick up on this stuff, then the term becomes uncool. So I don't know if your daughter uses it or not.
This is true.
Well,
it's so true.
Well, I tell you, Jade, what you got to listen for next is 41, because apparently 6-7 has been replaced by 41, sometimes 4-1.
Oh my!
And I think there. So watch for that, and sometimes there's a little hand motion with that, but apparently that goes back to some song by Blizzy Boy that's called 41 Song. So I'm just
Google's
telling you.
Blizzy Boy. All right.
Lizzie boy, yeah.
I guess. And certainly us talking about it on the radio totally makes it uncool now, so.
Exactly.
There.
Exactly. So we just, I mean, who says skippity toilet anymore, right? I mean, that's kind of over, I think. If I'm saying it, yeah, if I'm saying it, it's way over.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, okay. So we talked about some of these newer words grabbing our attention this year. Are there any broader trends around the language we use or how we use it that you noticed this year?
Well, honestly, so much of it does have to do with our sort of unease and fascination with artificial intelligence and what that's going to mean for us. You know, so much of that is uncertain. And so, you know, as we were talking about, there's so much that has to do with that. Let's see, there's aura farming. That's not exactly it, but that's sort of, you could use artificial intelligence to manufacture charisma or improve your vibe. That's called aura farming online, where you try to make yourself sound cooler. Most of it, as I said, has to do with these social interactions online.
Wow. Have you noticed yourself using new words or phrases this year?
One that I have used more and more, it was a word selected by the Cambridge Dictionary, and that is the word parasocial. And parasocial, it often has to do with life online. Parasocial describes one-sided connections that form between fans and the celebrities they really love or with influencers. You know, there's so many people whom I follow online that, you know, I feel like I know them better than I really do. And so we have a parasocial relationship. People will talk about having a parasocial relationship with Taylor Swift, for example, because they're so into Taylor Swift. Oh, and another term, again, having to do with artificial intelligence is clankers.
Okay, please explain.
Okay, well, this clankers is sort of a derisive term for robots or you know, these chat GPT and other what do you call them, the AI apps that we use. Sometimes people call them clankers. It's just sort of a derisive term for this other kind of well, it's not really a being, is it? I hope,
we don't know, right? We don't know what the future holds.
We don't know if the clankers are going to take over, but I hope not.
We hope not. I mean, okay, so I know it seems so far away, but do you have any predictions for what words will be like come 2026?
Oh, what words will be like?
Like, well, what words will we be talking about?
Well, I think that the trend with watching artificial intelligence is going to continue. And one thing to watch for is that, you know, there are all these different organizations and dictionary companies that have sort of jumped on the word of the year bandwagon. But the granddaddy of them all, or the grandmother of them all, is the American Dialect Society. This is an organization of scholars and linguists and independent researchers and people who watch words, and they haven't yet named their word of the year. They're meeting in New Orleans the first week of January, and so everybody should watch for what their word of the year is going to be, because it's often really thought-provoking, and they've been at this for 35 years. The other organizations have just kind of jumped on the bandwagon because it's a great way to get engagement and get clicks. So, you know, you throw out your word of the year and yep, throw out that content. Yeah, so watch for, it'll be the first week of January, I believe, when they vote on that. And I'm real curious to see what they come up with.
I am too. Wow, it's always fascinating to talk with you. I've been speaking with Martha Barnett. She's co-host of the call-in radio show Away With Words and author of Friends With Words, Adventures in Language Land. Martha, thank you and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, Jade.
That's our show for today. I'm your host, Jade Hindman. Thanks for tuning in to Midday Edition. Be sure to have a great day on purpose, everyone.
KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego's Art Power, presenting Good Writing, an evening with Anne Lamott and Neil Allen at the Balboa Theater on April 1. Tickets at artpower.ucsd.edu.